Well, we're on a roll this morning, aren't we? Are we all excited? It isn't every day we have a baptismal service, is it? This is what church is really all about. We're taught to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be baptized. And this is what church is doing today. We've got three people who are getting baptized. We're going to get them to give their testimonies first, so you kids can stay in and listen to what they've got to say. And then after that, we'll let you go to your classes, all right? Is that okay? We've got today Jess and Tom and Luke, who are getting baptized, and they want to tell us, or we've talked them into telling us, or we've encouraged them, shall we say, to tell us why they're getting baptized. What's happened in their life to make them want to do that? It's a funny thing to do, isn't it? Go down to Weymouth in March with the water at 8.5 degrees centigrade and get dunked. Now, they didn't have to do that. They could have done it in a warm bath somewhere, but brilliant. That's what we're doing. So it's in a hot country, I can understand it, but in a cold country, I think, well, it's a funny thing to do, but that's what we're told to do. So we do it. Tom and Jess didn't really feel they could come up and stand by me and tell you their testimony. So we got them to record it. Joe's going to play their testimony. This is Tom and Jess telling us.
For those who don't already know us, we are Jess and Thomas Granger, husband and wife. We have three amazing children. We are so grateful to be on this journey together. Our lives before accepting Christ always felt a little bit like something was missing from our lives and from our relationships with others, but we didn't know that. Before we had Christ in our lives, I felt I would always find the negatives in life, no matter what. Even when things were okay, I would always find the negatives. And that was until I started coming to East Coca Chapel.
From the first time we came here, which was a year ago at Easter, we both felt the Holy Spirit in us. And since that day, our faith has grown stronger and stronger. Not only that, but East Coca has always felt like a second family. We have always felt safe and at home here. We would like to thank everyone who has been part of our journey and for being so welcoming. Having Jesus in our lives has helped us get through the most difficult time of our lives this past year. And it's clear to see he has worked his way through all of our family, touching all of our lives. I have always felt that we have a creator, but I was unsure how to grow in faith or feel close and build a relationship with God. Sorry. When Matthew and Roxy became Christians, we watched them grow as a family and we can see God working in their lives. And when we are around them, we feel God's presence. We truly believe they have helped us massively in our journey to accepting Jesus into our lives, and we thank them for that. This is something we never thought would happen in our family, but we're so blessed that it has. And God can do the impossible. Being baptised is the start of our new journey with Christ in our lives and growing our relationship with him. We are so thankful that we can do this together. We look forward to living our lives with Jesus at the centre and showing our children how amazing he is.
Luke's brave enough to come up and stand with me, which is really good. You got it on your phone, that's fine.
Yeah, is that all right?
I still want you to speak into this one now.
Right, okay. Hi, everyone. Oh, is it working?
Do I turn it on?
Yeah.
Hello?
That's better. There we go. Morning, everyone. I'm very nervous. I'll get straight to it. For too long, I've ignored the greatness of God. He was with me when I wrote this message, as he is here with me now whilst I read. He is there for me when I am in need and is there to remind me of what is special. I am truly grateful for such a loving God and forever in debt to Jesus Christ, his Son, who died so that my sins may be forgiven. I have spent a lot of time in life searching for something I could not find, searching for something that would fill the empty, dark, and helpless void that had hollowed my body. a void created because of the distance that I had placed between myself and our Creator, but no more. I see now that the real truth, the only truth. Today I will begin a new chapter in my life and fill my heart with the fire of Christ, becoming a vessel for the Lord. I just want to thank everyone in this church. You've provided me with so much support since I got here.
It's okay, don't worry. You're making me feel like it. Come on.
There was a verse in the Bible that I wanted to read out. At the end of this, it's John 4:8. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Thank you.
It wasn't an easy thing to do. Liz has got some verses that we're going to just share with them. We've got a verse each. But very often, the old-fashioned way of baptism, we'd go down into the water, and then we'd read a verse, which is your baptismal verse. Liz wasn't too keen. I didn't actually suggest it even, that she could go out into the water as well and read the verses. So we thought we'd do it here, right now. You better have this one. Come up.
I'm going to talk to Jess. I don't think you'd have made it for real, would you, Jess? I don't think you'd have made it through. Just no. Congratulations, all three of you, because that is really hard. It's just hard me standing here reading a verse, and that's nothing, is it? No, well done. Thank you for doing that. So this is for Jess first, and it's from Colossians 2, 6 and 7. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. You can have that one. Use it as a bookmark or whatever. And then Tom, yours is from Isaiah, so back in the Old Testament, chapter 40, 30 and 31. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Okay. And for Luke, we've got Romans 6, verse 4. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Okay.
Brilliant. Let's just pray for them. Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jess and Tom and Luke are all prepared today to stand in the water and be baptized in your name, in your spirit. And Father, we thank you that they've made a confession, they're making a stand, and they're starting a new life with you. And we ask, Lord, that you'll bless them, you'll protect them, you'll keep them all through the days of their lives as they follow you. Lord, we pray that you'll continue to be real to them all the way through their lives. Lord, that they'll be great people for you. They'll be able to proclaim your name. We thank you for the stand they've already made. We just ask a blessing on them in our Saviour's name. Amen. Amen. Kids, you can go to whatever you've got to go to. Everyone, of course, is very welcome to join us. We're going to be down at Weymouth. We're going to go right out to the far end of the bay by the Pavilion Theatre. And it'll happen out there. Otherwise, we don't want to be walking in from by the clock, because it could be like a 3-mile walk before you're up to your knees. It'll be a lot deeper by the Pavilion, hopefully. 3:30 is what we're aiming for. If you want to come down, that'd be brilliant. If you don't want to come, it's no compulsion, there's no need. But it'd be lovely for anybody who can make it to see what's happening and to join in. I thought I'd say a bit about baptism this morning, not surprisingly. And I was sort of figuring out how to address it, and I thought, we'll do who, no, we won't, we'll do what, who, when, how, where, and why. What is that baptism all about? Who should be baptized? When should they be baptized? How should they be baptized? Where should they be baptized? And why should they be baptized? So, starting off with what is baptism? Baptism is an outward physical demonstration. It's a statement that somebody's believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, have accepted him as their saviour, and want to follow Jesus. They've dedicated their new life to God. You go under the water, as if you've been buried. Your old sinful life is gone. You're growing up out of the water, as if you have risen to a new life. So we're talking here about total immersion, not just a symbolic sprinkling. Down into the water as though you're being buried, rising up, just like Jesus did. Jesus went into the grave, he died, and he rose up again. There's a similarity. Probably the earliest similarity to baptism is recorded in the Old Testament. Two kings. Do you remember a guy called Naaman? Naaman was a commander in the Syrian army. And his wife had a young Israeli girl as a servant, maidservant. And Naaman had leprosy or some sort of skin thing, but they called it leprosy. I don't know where or how much of his body was covered, I don't know, but he had the disease. And the young girl said to her mistress, if only my master would go down and see the prophet in Israel, who would heal him? And she obviously told her husband. And the husband thought, well, it's worth a try. So he went to the king, a king of Aram, and he said to him, king, can I do this? And he said, go. Take money, take clothes, go and see if you can get healed. So he made the journey, quite a journey, from Syria down into Samaria. And they go to the house that they're told to go to. It's the house of Elisha, a prophet. And they knock on the door and explain, having been to Israel's king as well, all that before this. Anyway, knock on the door. And a servant comes out and tells Naaman to go and bathe in the Jordan River 7 times. Naaman thinks, what? I was expecting him to come out, pray to his God, whoever he is, touch the places on me, and I'd be miraculously healed. I don't go and get in the River Jordan. Why would I want to go in the dirty old river? We got much better rivers in Syria. Why would I want to do that? And he stomped off. And some of his servants went after him and said, hey, master, if he told you to do something incredible, wouldn't you have done it? And he said, yeah, I suppose I would. Well, why not do something simple? Why would it be worth a try? And he thought he would, so he tried it. And he dipped into the River Jordan and out 7 times. And when he came out the 7th time, he was completely healed. Incredible. It's nothing really like baptism, but it is immersion in water as a picture way back then. But when we come to the New Testament, it's the real thing. Do you remember a man called John the Baptist? Do you remember when Jesus was... No, go back before that. Go back to when Mary was told she was going to have a baby. Mary was told she was going to have a baby, didn't she, wasn't she? And she went to visit her cousin, nearly said aunt, but it's cousin, Elizabeth, who was also carrying a baby, but a very special baby. Her husband, who was a priest, had been told, these are old couple, Elizabeth and Zachariah, are an old couple, they've never had a child, and they prayed for a child for years. It's never come. And when Zachariah's in the temple, setting up all the worship for the day's service, an angel appeared there, right beside the altar. And he was well startled, as you would be. And the angel told him that his wife was going to have a baby. And his name would be called John. And the Zachariah, poor chap, was a little bit not actually getting the gist of the whole thing and thinking, is this real? Am I dreaming this? Look, can you be sure about this angel sort of attitude? And the angel said, look, because you haven't taken this seriously, you won't speak again until the baby's born. And that's exactly what happened. Because just missed a bit that the angel said to him. Very important bit that we're getting to, that the angel said to Zachariah, was his name will be called John, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit whilst he's in his mother's body. And I think he's the only one I know of that had that experience. Filled with the Spirit. He must have been an incredible guy, wasn't he? Filled with the Spirit before he was born. What's that like? What was it like when he was born and lived? We have no idea. Anyway, he comes along John the Baptist, and he's a bit unusual. He's 6 months older than Jesus, about, and he's been in the wilderness for a long time. He's got a completely different dress code than most people, probably a completely different diet, and he suddenly appears, and he says, repent and be baptized. Mark chapter 1, verse 4, he says, and so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So that's how baptism came about and what it's for. So who's it for? We've done what is it? Who's it for? Right back to the back time of John the Baptist, you've got to remember that it was thought that baptism was only for the Jewish race. They believed in God, the Almighty God. It was their God. They were his chosen people in his promised land. And they believed that this Almighty God, there would be a Messiah who would come to save them. It wasn't until after Jesus had risen to life and ascended into heaven that it was revealed to the apostles that the Messiah came for everyone, the world over, regardless of race, color, or religion. Everyone, including us. Jesus himself was baptized by John the Baptist. You remember that? Matthew 3. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? Jesus replied, and this is a bit awkward because even in the New Living NIV, it's still a funny talk. But Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. So Jesus was saying, no, we need to do this. I know I'm the Messiah. Well, he wasn't saying that, but he was just getting across to John. This has got to be done. And what a wonderful thing he did. Otherwise, all of us Christians go, well, Jesus didn't do it. Why should we? He nailed that one. So John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. Therefore, baptism is for anyone who's received salvation through Christ Jesus our Lord and wants to proclaim it. Anyone. Everyone. When should I get baptized? Well, baptism follows conversion. So anytime you've made a commitment to ask Jesus into your life, having believed in him, and ask for forgiveness for your sins. Now, when I say anytime, sooner rather than later has got to be best. So don't leave it. Don't leave it too long. There's an opportunity today for these three to be baptized. If you think you should be baptized, maybe it's a little bit too soon to do it today, but we can set up another baptism in no time. Easy as anything. And you don't have to do it in the sea. You can have it in warm water if you want. The Bible says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's what you need to do. So you need to be old enough to take the decision seriously and prepared to make a lifelong commitment to God and to honor him and follow his ways. Where should I be baptized? We'll do these together because this is the easy bit. Neither are important. It does not matter. We baptize by full immersion in water because that's the way John the Baptist did it. That's the way Jesus himself was baptized. When in the water, you're asked if you have received the Lord Jesus Christ into your life and you wish now to live for him. If the answer is yes, you're dunked right under the water. There's nothing special about the water or the place. It's all about believing what's happening. It's all about what's happening. You can do it in a muddy river like the Jordan. It doesn't matter. The water doesn't need to be holy. In the past, we would use the old baptistry in the chapel, with the chapel the baptistry in the old chapel, is what I was trying to say. It's a very small swimming pool or a big tank, set down in the ground, concreted, 3 or 4 steps down in, quite long. Not sure it'd be long enough for Tom. Because when we do it, we'd always have to make sure we went right to the front so that you didn't come back and bang your head on the steps. And I think with Tom right at the front, we still hit his head. Where was I? Yeah, we use the old baptistry. But since we've been meeting in here, we've had a paddling pool at the front and baptized in there. And we've had a plastic bath in here and baptized in here. It's not about any of that. It doesn't matter where. Today, it's going to be the English Channel. There was a guy in Acts, we read about him. He was an Ethiopian. So obviously he came from Ethiopia. But he'd gone to Israel. He was actually gone to Jerusalem. He was the chief financial advisor for Queen Candace, Queen of Ethiopia. And I don't know what business he'd been doing in Jerusalem, but he's on his way home. He's in a chariot, and he's traveling on the road. And it's quite specific here, which is really interesting, on the road from Jerusalem to Gaza, on his way back to Ethiopia. Way, way somewhere else is an apostle who actually called Philip. And he hears from the voice of God saying, there's a chariot you need to draw yourself close to on the road from Jerusalem to Gaza. And there's a man there needs you. And Philip gets there. And as he's there, he hears a man in a chariot reading from Isaiah the prophet about a lamb being led to the slaughter. And he says to the guy in the chariot, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I? How can I? And as somebody explains it. And Philip gets into the chariot with him and he explains what it's all about. This is a prophecy that's going to happen. It's about a Messiah that's going to come. He's like a lamb and he's going to go and he's going to be a sacrifice. He's going to be a person who dies and forgives and rises again. And then he told him all about how it's going to happen. He told him how about baptism and all the rest of it. And they get to a point and the Ethiopian guy says, oh, there's water. What stops me from being baptized? Nothing. And Philip and him go down into the water, and Philip baptizes him. And when he comes up, Philip is gone. Just as he appeared, he's gone. And the guy thinks, my goodness, this surely is true. And he goes fired up, ready to go back with the gospel to Ethiopia. That's the story of the Ethiopian. So now we come to why. Now then, this is a nitty-gritty bit, isn't it? This is it. Why? Why get baptized? The Bible says over and over, believe and be baptized. Is that an order? A command? Or a very strong recommendation? I'm not completely sure. But it's certainly saying, just do it. Just do it. Get on with it. And Mark 1:11 says, just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven. You are my beloved Son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. I'm not expecting that to happen this afternoon. But God is going to be well pleased. We're all well pleased. Those three will be well pleased. The Bible doesn't say that we actually experience any change of heart at baptism. A person is not baptized to become a Christian, but rather to show that they are a Christian. It's a very emotional moment. Some people receive the Holy Spirit at baptism. Some receive it before. Others receive it sometime later. But something definitely changes. As you come up out of the water, suddenly you're wearing the badge of a baptized believer, a true follower committed to Christ. My father used to tell, or had you told me a story, of a man. It was an older man. He became a Christian. He smoked a pipe all his life. He was always smoking a pipe. And when he wanted to get baptized, I expect one or two of the leaders in the church were a little bit concerned, but I don't know. This is olden days, mind. You know, this is going back a few years. People's attitudes were a little bit different now. You don't see people smoking pipes now, do you? You don't see many people smoking cigarettes or cigars. And very few people. My uncle used to smoke a pipe, actually. and stuff a bit of tobacco in it and light it and keep puffing away on it. And they always seem to be going out. I don't know. They always keep poking it down and stuffing it. And then they're always hooking it out and putting more in. It's funny, funny old dude. Anyway, this guy smoked a pipe. And he always had this pipe with him. Anyway, got baptized. Wonderful. When they drained the baptistry afterwards, there was a pipe in the baptistry. I go, that's funny. That's got to be John's. We call him John. I don't know what his name was. So they went to John and said, John, found your pipe in the baptistry. And he said, yes. I went into the water a smoker. I came out a non-smoker. Now, we may find that amusing. I do. But this man had such a conscience about smoking his pipe that the Holy Spirit was obviously challenging him about it. And it was enough for him to be changed. He knew that for him was a moment that was going to be a change. And it was almost like he buried his pipe and risen up without it. And that's the way he wanted it. But when the Spirit challenges us, so he'd been challenged. And the Holy Spirit will challenge us too on things. We have to be open to the Spirit when he challenges us. Things going on in our lives, whatever they may be, we will be challenged. Our willingness to become a closer follower is a sign that we are truly committed. And we'll find it easier as we listen and react to the Spirit's prompting because we have a strong desire to serve God. This is something which is ongoing through our lives. If we have a nagging feeling about something we're doing or even something we haven't done, then that will be the Holy Spirit prompting us. I do feel that baptism should come with a warning. Living a Christian life is not necessarily a walk in the park. When I grew up, I was more or less taught that when you become a Christian, everything will be okay. Now, part of it is, everything is okay, you are saved, you are going to heaven, you have eternal life. But I was never told that actually, it's a bit of a rocky walk in between that bit and death. In fact, for some people, it can be a very rocky walk. But if you're serious about throwing off the old life and following Jesus, it becomes different. Trouble is, you see, there's a power which would do its best to stop you in your tracks. Satan doesn't want you to live your life for God. He will endeavor to pull you away with temptations, discouragements, wrong thoughts, and actions. Basically, anything he can throw at you. And I know that both Tom and Luke have had that all this week. And they're vouched for that. They've been going through all sorts. And they think, really? Really? Why am I being attacked? You're being attacked because Satan doesn't want you to do what you're doing. But we don't have to listen to him. We don't have to worry about him. Because as we go on going forward, it gets easier and easier. And the Bible tells us at least 5 times, and probably more, I'll be challenged on this one, I don't know, stand firm in the faith.
Sorry.
Stand firm in the faith that we now have and the knowledge that Satan is defeated. Jesus has the victory because he died and rose again. We walk with him. He walks with us. We're sons and daughters of the living God, adopted into his family. We are his people. Whoa! We have the power of the Holy Spirit within us. And we're promised eternal life in God's presence. Praise his name. I'll leave you with a verse. A short verse. Colossians 2, verse 6 and 7. Well, it's 2 verses, actually. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him. Rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Amen. Back to the worship band.
Thanks, Phil. That was really good. Thanks, guys, for those testimonies. Really powerful. Really great to hear those.